Welcome, everyone, to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti with my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody, and hi, Jackie.
Hi, darling. Tonight's show, Owning the Shadow, Light and Dark. This is a continuation, husbands, wives, and lovers, past and present. Why do they still trigger us?
Because that's your job.
Okay, now, Ronnie, you've got a great story. I'm going to read some of these emails before we go into your story because it's so powerful.
Great.
And, you know, what what we're definitely seeing here, fascinating time.
Well, I think it's interesting because you didn't actually do an exercise last week, but holy mackerel, did you throw us into a tizzy or what?
Yeah. Well, you know,
exorcise.
Yes. You know, as people go back through the archives and listen to the old shows, the shame shows, and I had a very famous healer's wife call me today and said, I'm listening to the shame shows and I feel like crap. I said, yes, I know. So
thank you for sharing, right?
That's exactly. All right. It's been a really strange and amazing time, and tons of emails. I'm going to share a couple that I think are really powerful so that everybody knows that they're not in this alone. And certainly I am seeing stuff that is just mind-boggling in the sessions. So first email, this is kind of a long one, but it's really fascinating. After the show, I went to bed, dreamed of a friend of mine who died many years ago. I also dreamed of some beautiful cows that looked like they were heading to slaughter. Their big brown eyes and gorgeous lashes looked up at me, and just about then I suddenly woke up and couldn't figure out what this meant. However, I had that weird feeling that there was a message in there for me somewhere, but where I did not know. I thought about it all day. What the heck? I'm dreaming of a dead friend and cows. Then I had my eureka moment. You see, the friend I dreamed of was in my childhood, and she died in a motorcycle accident when we were around 17. Before her death, we were no longer friends. Basically, my mother and father were in the midst of separation and divorce. My mother went to retrieve our clothing, personal items, etc., with a moving van. Dad knew my mother was coming, but when the family got to the house to retrieve their things, the dad was in bed having sex with his mistress.
Hello.
However, my childhood friend managed to shame me for my father's deeds. I was deeply wounded by her actions and how she could have been so cold and callous by telling others and openly ridiculing me. So she chose never to be friends. I'm going to try to paraphrase some of this. Within a year of their falling out, her friend was killed in a motorcycle accident. And part of her felt shame that she never made amends. And she had an opportunity just a week before she died, but chose not to do it. Now, for the cows in her dream, well, these two also symbolize guilt and shame for me. As with most light workers, we tend to feel bad about eating meat as the animals are generally mistreated by the food consumption industry. What a great way to symbolize guilt and shame to me without bringing out a flashing neon light. She then makes the comment, I must have layers and layers of this stuff. Saturday morning, she woke up and couldn't walk without pain. She remembered me and how I'd blown out my first chakra, so she didn't panic too much. She went on with her day until she couldn't take the pain anymore. Felt like a pinched nerve. But she couldn't figure out what was causing the pain because it was at the bottom of her spine area. This is so interesting. On the right-hand side. Later that night, she sat in Epsom salts baths and had a hot pack on her spine. She hobbled to bed and lay there propped with pillows all the way while hoping that she could fall asleep and have the team rid her of the pain straight away. Well, sure enough, two beings appeared that night, a male and a female, and said, her root chakra is open, and that's all they said. Then she woke up for a few minutes, then fell back asleep again. The next dream that same night, and this is fascinating, was about rats. These rats were humongous. They were bigger than a small dog, and in her dream, they were renting a she was renting a building, and she said to the guy who owned the building, you have to exterminate these huge rats, but he didn't seem too bothered by them. It was weird and that he wasn't fazed at all by these horrible, huge rats. And And she kept thinking, this guy's got to get rid of these things. They breed like crazy, and hell will be inundated with rats. However, the guy didn't bother one bit about these giant rodents. She got up the next day, and she could walk better. She knew the team had worked on her, and there was only a slight dull pain now. Nothing compared to the day before in terms of pain. She hobbled to the laptop, Googled dreaming of rats, and it came up with huge first chakra stuff. Survival, good versus evil, gnawing at yourself, and major, major shadow stuff. A rat in a dream represents your fears or an aspect of yourself or your life situation that you consider as inferior or distasteful or that you judge as negative. A rat can also represent resourcefulness, easily adaptable, or survivalist, even to the detriment of others. Can you say shadow, 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 shadow?
So how did it end? I mean, is that how she ended it?
I'm so thankful to you and Veronica's openness to share with us. If it weren't for you both, I would not have figured this out so fast and would still be scratching my head wondering what the heck is going on. Actually, I'm still scratching my head saying what the heck is going on, but it's good to know that we're all in this together. another one, your show had a great impact on my life. It says all the ones preceding, spotlight on your shadow helps me to transform and become wiser. I feel like I'm living a separate reality other than my limited day-to-day routines. This new reality bends the rules, can be the fountain of miracles much needed in my life. There's a constant pull between the consensus reality and the limiting thoughts of those in my 9-to-5 and the magical life I want to live. You, Veronica, and the team are the wayshowers to the new reality. Another one, insightful show on the shadow last night. I think I'm going through some discomforts around this. During yoga class today, we were doing a chant for the heart chakra while holding our hands over our hearts. I started crying. A couple of days ago, I started having discomfort with my ears and lymph nodes and the whole area around the base of my skull. It feels like my ears are plugged up with a lot of pressure. It's a very strange feeling to have my ears plugged up for so long. Another one, there was some very powerful and revealing information on your radio show. I identified with a person who felt flawed and feared failure so much that she didn't take opportunities that would have led to greater success and visibility. There was so much insightful information that I want to re-listen when the show is archived. Another one, something very deep has been triggered since last week. I've been having emotional crises again, crying spells coming up and feeling hurt, sorrow, fear, insecurities, and hopelessness. Also, the undercurrent of anger, bingo here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to process this so I can get through my days. I tried to keep my resonance high by watching comedies. I listen to the music on your website and keep asking the team for help. But I feel a deluge coming on. Perhaps this is the second deluge Veronica spoke of. And after this, I'll experience a greater sense of clarity. I certainly wish this to be true.
Well, let's just intend that for her.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I've sent the team. Mm-hmm. I have. These are
friends in
these
high
are regular
places.
Yeah, well, these are regular clients. I don't do that if people are not having sessions. I don't just randomly send them, mainly because people can get kind of whacked out. This was interesting. I mentioned yesterday about my physical vehicle being represented in my dream state by a broken-down old automobile being driven by mind power. Well, last night in my inner realms, I found myself flying through the air in a black cloak. It was effortless. I was a great wizard of sorts. People in the dream who were alerted to my presence were not fast enough to detect my presence due to my ability to command the power of the air. No longer hindered by the limited speed of an old car, I broke through walls as if they were made of paper. It was exhilarating, a great sense of power without being a megalomaniac. And, of course, cars are always power. Unfortunately, also having pain in his bladder and lower chakras, again, for second chakra stuff. Ronnie, I want you to talk about what happened to you last week, because this is so powerful for everyone, and it really is what triggered the name for the show tonight, because in addition to what happened to you, of course, it's been showing up all week. Could you share what happened last week?
I sure will, because there was some, anyway, it's been going on all week, which is kind of interesting. And that I spoke about my second husband. I was widowed, and then I married again. So I'd had some history, and I married a man, and what did I say last week? Something like we had this kind of underlying stream, and it just kind of pulled us under after a while. And we were talking about how our partners reflect our shadow. Well, after I said that, and it wasn't all that demeaning or anything, I came apart, even on the air. I was sitting here, and I just wanted to walk away from the whole radio show at the time, because my body was pumping this incredible both adrenaline and all kinds of really difficult biochemical stuff. And
yes.
I thought maybe it was shame, but it wasn't quite the same as shame, but I knew I shouldn't have said anything or something. Anyway, the long and the short of it is Bob, who's always very smart, my wonderful partner, mentioned when I told him at the end of the show what had happened, he just said simply that that's your shadow. And, of course, it began to bubble forward after that. Now, I spoke to my second husband partway through the week, and his tendency with me is he tends to be kind of judgmental and doesn't have all that much respect for me, and then I care about it. And Jackie, bless your heart, had said to me one time, why do you care? Anyway, we had a little discussion this week, which was very the same as it always goes, except I didn't care. Hello?
Fabulous.
So all of that stuff was really effective, and you just triggered it with what you were teaching. It was great.
All right. Now, during our private conversation after the show between Veronica and I, and if you don't mind if I share this, Veronica.
No, I don't mind at all.
All right.
Little quiet conversations where we reveal.
Right, one of those. Well, what was so interesting is that he was saying all the things to her that she feared to be true. He was triggering her. That's why the word trigger is so important. He was triggering her. He was actually gifting her, okay, with
by
all
outlining.
very specifically. And the reason it would upset you so is the fear inside that the things he was saying were true, which, of course, they're not.
Right.
But until we get in there and can retrieve those gifts and really start looking at these things and realizing that exes, you know, ones we're with now, can trigger us because somehow they bring that gift.
Somehow, I believe this, we magnetize them, don't we? We magnetize them.
Oh, yes. So, you know, again, this kind of segues into why are the old relationships still triggering us? And it's very simple. We have gifts there. Mm-hmm. And what I have seen all week long are huge chunks of power. And we have spent the week and during session, while I'm in channel, they surround these people in love too. It is just stunning to go back and observe, as the observer first, back to a situation. And sometimes it's an amalgam of experiences. If they can't pinpoint a specific situation, we do it in the form of an amalgam. Okay, pick one situation and we pull in all of the situations where you've given power to this person over and over again. And then surrounded in this incredible love, they walk up behind themselves, in essence, and put their arms around them in some way, either on their shoulders or around their waist, to let them know they're here, to help them, to hold them at the moment of this experience. The experience happens, and then we have them look at where is their power. Where is that person holding their power? Now, Veronica, of course, I told you about one which I'll share later in the show, but this has been happening with other people as well, and especially with ex-husbands, deceased husbands, lovers, all kinds of things. And literally they reach out, and, you know, this is a sacred space where literally we have them blend together then and reach into that person wherever the power is being held and pull it out and pull it back into their solar plexus. And, you know, what has been fascinating to me is that these pieces, these are the gifts that the shadow is holding for us. And power, and I think today, because in relationships is where we historically give away our power. Truly, where there is that edge, whether we project our power onto our partner, or we feel that they take it, or they do something that completely hits us broadside that we're not expecting, and we feel completely depleted, whether they do as your ex has done to you, say things to us that make us believe that we're less, or bullies, dominating, can be any number of things, betraying.
It can mesmerize us too, can't it? You feel like you're in a trance with some people.
Oh, absolutely. You get so inside of the illusion itself because it's so loaded with emotion that you can't see it. I had an ex who I left and he wanted to punish me, and I remember him coming to visit and him saying to me, "You're going to end up a bag lady." And I that visual of me laying on the floor in a puddle, crying hysterically, and there was nothing else he could ever have said to me that would have undone me except for that. And at that time, that was my greatest fear. And I don't even know how he knew it, except that, again, they're such great gifts. Okay?
How about this one? You'll never meet anybody as good as me again.
That's a normal one. No one will ever love you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know. But we leave power, dignity, authority, and all kinds of other things in those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you an exercise which we have found to be really pretty phenomenal, okay? And it started, I don't know, actually a couple of weeks ago. They did it was very interesting. And what they did is they had people go into their child, their real child, because that child exists in time and space. And somehow when they hold the energy, you could just be places in an instant. It just, you know, it used to be we'd go into this and that. Now it's not. It's just, boom, they hold the energy and you're there. And this is really a big piece of this. And start describing, let's say at 5, how they see men, or if they're a man, how they see women. In some cases, it's both, because generally we have issues with both mom and dad. And then after that, after they've given all the descriptions, they then move them forward into their adolescent and do exactly the same thing. Now, what we've seen is the disconnect between childhood and adolescence, especially if people have gone through their wounding in whatever way, can have this huge shift. All of a sudden, you see that through the adolescent's eyes, their view of men and women can be totally different than the child. Now, go ahead.
I just was thinking of an example of that. What like if a child experiences the parent, I don't quite get it, I guess.
Mm. Okay.
So your parent is unkind, your parent is dominating, your parent is cruel. Then you get to adolescence, and what then? You're dominating, or you?
Hold on. No. All right. Okay, here's one. Here's the child. We'll use Ben. Strong, tall, big, safe, smart, loving, resourceful, adolescent, unavailable, lack of communication, awkward, no trust, penis, competitive. Where do I fit? No safety. Now, is that telling or what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I said, uh-huh. I guess what I'm thinking is that the adolescent, first the child and then the adolescent, speaking of the parent or speaking of the...
Their view on men. Because a child, their exposure to men is generally to dad, may have some brothers, okay, uncles, grandfathers. The adolescent now is now dealing with gender, okay, they're in, you know, if they're 12 to 14, junior high, you know, maybe
it's
going into high school.
World.
Their whole world is, and so all of a sudden in this particular situation, dad was out of the picture, you could see this, okay? And at that, she was lost. She was lost not only with men, but with women. She got lost, totally got lost. Now, what happens when you have that happen and you go into relationships? Okay?
Yep.
All right. Here's another one. I mean, you know, you, people might say, well, how does this fit in the shadow? Oh! Easy. Here's one. Here's the child, okay? Mean, frightening, intimidating, aggressive, controlling, stern, unsafe. The adolescent, violent, mean, abrasive, cruel, weak, chatterbox, dishonest, or sorry, dominant, stern. It just goes on and on. And then we had to break it down on this particular one. I don't want to reveal too much here. And then today, you know, how do you see men today as an adult, right? Deceitful, aggressive, violent, undependable, untrustworthy, cruel, cheaters, mean, weak. Okay, well, that stuff's in the shadow. Okay, where's all the light stuff, you know?
Where is all the light stuff?
What's fascinating to me, not one person said, sexy, safe, intriguing. I'm like, what happened to everybody? So this is something that, you know, I really recommend that people play with here. And when I say play, I'm trying to be kind. You know, if you have, let's say, a brother or a sister that was a real pain, you may want to break it down to, okay, here's women, and then, you know, here's my sister or my brother, you know, or here's men, here's my brother. You may have to break it down. And find out, start looking at where did the disconnect happen. Now, you may know it intellectually anyway. Well, you know, my father did this, they divorced or whatever. But talk to the child and the adolescent. Let them look at the situation and hear what they've got to say. Because trust me, they're a part of your life. They're helping run the show here. You know, then, whatever your child and adolescent are feeling and seeing and thinking is going to affect every relationship you have. With
so
that
Jackie,
said,
Jackie, can I ask a question here? Is that if you want to drop in and find out how your child or your adolescent is seeing those, the male or the female, you just go into a trance, you just drop into your center or meditative and just ask, and your child will respond that way?
I'll give you, this is the one we always use, which is to sit comfortably on the end of the couch where your dominant hand is, so you can have your arm, your hand on the arm of the couch. Have a tablet. Go into a meditative state, okay? And really, you know, ask your child, look through your child's eyes, what are they seeing? And be in your child and let your child look at all of this. And the words will start coming immediately. You just start writing them.
Okay.
You won't fully leave meditation, okay? And especially because we're being really supported in these processes, okay? Very supported. They know. Believe me when I say they, and the they is huge. They know what we're trying to accomplish here. So, you know, once you've done this, you know, and another piece of this, I won't say once you've done this, but another piece of this, is really to sit down and figure out who are you still angry at, okay, in those old relationships. Because it's going to be showing up in the relationship you're in now. If you have a relationship 10 years ago, okay, and you still have a chunk of power or your dignity or your authority sitting there, it's going to be reflecting to you in your current relationship somewhere. Either you're going to get mad at that person, you're going to project onto them, because it's unresolved. It gets very complex here, and you know, I'd love to be able to say to everybody, well, you'll be able to do this on your own. For those of you that can't, please call, make an appointment, because this gets, I'm telling you people, your abundance is sitting in here. All kinds of things are sitting in here. Because if it started with Dad, which I guarantee it did, if it started with Dad and then it carried on to other relationships, your abundance is directly tied to Daddy.
Hmm.
Okay? And it's going to show up in all kinds of ways. But if you've got huge chunks of power because you're still angry at someone and you've never gotten through it or to it, okay, then there is a treasure sitting there, and I'll guarantee you one of those pieces is your power, a chunk of power. And I've seen it in every session I've done this week. People all of a sudden just, oh, my God, it's like they blow up. They just get huge, you know. And look at, did this person control you? Did they lie to you? Did they use you? You know, when you leave a relationship like that, okay, you're destroyed at some level. You're emotionally destroyed. It's really difficult to get clarity with it. You know, it could be a friend, but right now we're doing these real tight relationships, and it can be a friend in that case.
Can you give us a suggestion on how to do it in relationship? If it's so that we reflect that back and forth in relationship, can you do it in relationship?
No. No.
Okay.
No, you need to go back to the source, because what you're doing is still projecting that old relationship onto the current one. What's unresolved back here, you're just projecting onto. You know, a therapist told me this a very long time ago in my great tumultuous learning relationship that I'm always grateful for. At the time, I wasn't. And I went to her and I said, look, I need you to meet with both of us, and please don't throw me under the bus here, because I really need to separate from this man, because I can't hold it together. It's just not working. And she said very simply, you can't see him because you projected Mom and Dad onto him.
Hmm.
And that's all you can see. And at that point, I wanted to throw down my pencil and go home.
Fine, then.
But she was absolutely, positively correct.
Hmm.
She could not have been any more right. Now, here's the other piece. Again, an important one. That's why you want to look at Mom and Dad, regardless of gender that you are, is we can project Mom as a woman on to our partner. And that's, again, that can get a little, but if, you know, we're here to resolve. Again, this goes back to the familial chain of pain. We're here to resolve. We're here to resolve. We sat down with all these people at a big conference table before we ever came in and said, okay, this is what I want to work on. This is why. And, you know, at the time it seemed like a really good idea. Unfortunately, when you're in it, it doesn't.
That's your blinding, isn't it?
You can't, when you're in that emotion, it is very blinding, because, again, you've got the child and adolescent in the relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
If Mom and Dad aren't healed, you're not running your life. The three of you are. There's no way to separate out from that. When people say to me, my inner child, I want to just choke. Your child exists in time and space. There is no time, really. Every experience is in one now moment viewed from different perspectives. Now, theoretically, we may get that, theoretically. But it is true. It's an absolute. Quantum physics is now coming from the tail end, verifying that it's absolutely true. Okay? All of our jobs are to heal mom and dad. If we still have unfinished pieces there, we're going to find them in old relationships. There's no way not to. Now, Veronica, let's go back to your ex-husband, if we could, for a minute.
Sure.
Okay?
Well, they don't have to be ashamed.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. I love your courage to even talk about it. And I'm so sorry that it undid you the way it did, but again, that is a huge indication that it was of major importance for you.
Oh, I'm not sorry at all, not even a tiny bit.
Good.
I was a little flummoxed, but I'm delighted, actually.
Okay, so do you think any of that, well, we already know, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. Do you think this originated in childhood?
Yes, I sure do.
Exactly.
I'm not exactly sure which parent. I think there was like a stream of suppression, that sort of thing, judgment and so on. I think it was just there because I said it was like a stream between us, right?
Right.
It was a kind of a magnetic flow.
Well, when I hear people say, he did this to me and he did that to me, and, you know, and he is this and he is that, and I'm like, really? Okay, so he played all these things out for you, okay? But it's your stuff. All he's doing is reflecting back your stuff. Now, people don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. Somehow it seems, for whatever reason, I guess this is the way human consciousness has worked, you know, in a way, it's more fun to be the victim and be able to blame them and talk about what a so-and-so they are. But it sure doesn't help your life. It doesn't help your reality creation. And if you feel that you were victimized by anyone, again, you have a big chunk of power sitting there that you're not using. How can you create the life, the wonder, the great work, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to move for, or the relationship, if you have no power? You're going to walk into a relationship stark naked, powerless. You can't do it. Absolutely cannot do it. I mean, I see it every single day. Every single day. There's no way to get away from this one. And it's taken me a whole lifetime to absolutely, positively know it because I get it served up to me every chance.
But it's so interesting because sometimes when that happens, I hear myself saying, okay, I just don't know where to go from here because it's like you're pushed back into a place where you can't even move. You don't know. You don't know what
okay,
it is, hold, exactly
why,
what it means.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. What triggers that kind of feeling?
Usually it's sometimes that it's usually something where I'd like to say he did, she did, but I know it's me, but I can't find it in me. I don't know what to do. I usually just go blank or get flummoxed or something.
Okay.
Even if I know it's a pattern intellectually, I have to get it inside. And sometimes
okay.
It's quite a process to get it, you know?
All right, let's go back to, and I'm going to go back to the words, your trigger list. What words trigger you, and where did that originate?
Right.
You know, this goes back to the Debbie Ford book, Dark Side of the Light Chasers, which I guarantee you is, it's very insightful, but you can make up your own list of trigger words.
Mm-hmm.
What triggers you? What does it take to trigger you? If somebody says, you're stupid, you're pathetic, my trigger word used to be stupid. I would say it to myself, I'm so stupid. And my girlfriend would say, and I'm so pathetic. And we would desensitize the words after a while. We never used them again because we caught each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to go back and find out
crazy.
Where. Huh?
Mine is crazy. You're crazy.
Right. And so that's where you really. Now, you know you're not,
right?
But you haven't fully owned it, so you've got a chunk of power sitting back there with mom and dad
mm-hmm.
and whoever else was involved you have chunks of power sitting with each one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you believed what they said. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't initially, after a while you did. And believe me, we have lots of people listening tonight, okay, who've been challenged with it. I've had a lifetime of it.
But and it's interesting because we're playing with words. And, like, for example, I use crazy because that's what I started with. But after a while, if you're reacting to that, you can start questioning, like, what does it mean? Maybe I am. Maybe everybody knows something I don't know, you know?
Okay. The only reason you would believe it, again, is if they took your power and your dignity.
Right, okay.
All right? If you don't have power or dignity, if they've stripped your dignity, you can't find it. And dignity, I would say, is the key here. It's not only power. It's dignity. See, one thing I learned a while back, and it took me a long time to get this one. And a friend actually said it to me about my own mother, that she had stripped me of my dignity. And finally, one day, that really settled in, and I got angry.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a lifetime to get there. Well, this is however many years ago, it doesn't matter. But I felt it, and I felt protective of my child and my adolescent, and realized that they were so innocent, and literally, they were stripped. Now, if you don't have dignity, you're going to allow all kinds of things to happen
mm-hmm.
because you don't know that you deserve any more. You don't even believe you're valuable enough to be a person, to have a life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Without right. dignity, you're naked. You're really naked. And you can't possibly see where you project power because you won't own your own power. You may own it in one area or another, but not all of it. Not all of it. You can't. It's the dignity. And so some people will puff up dignity. Okay? You don't do that, Veronica, but some people will get real puffed up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it become very self-important, you know, or try to create an image. But the only problem is that the image isn't strong enough to make them feel safe. They can't feel safe mm-hmm. because they don't really believe it's authentic. They're afraid mm-hmm. it's going to fall apart at any moment. See, when you have dignity, they can take everything you've got. You don't care. You still have your dignity.
Right.
And enough of belief in yourself that you can go out and create and survive and do whatever you need to do. And if you have dignity, you don't give away your power. But you have to have that dignity in place. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting, you know, that's a whole interesting piece, a very interesting piece. And I've seen shamans strip people of power. And they use it with the shadow, with the dark.
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be a style of teaching us to surrender, didn't it?
Oh, you're right. Give us your power.
See how you do. See what's real in you, right?
Right. Now, I'm going to tell you, for some reason, and I know you mentioned this to me this morning, this is a really great story that I'd like to share with everybody. And it's a piece of it, Ronnie, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a session on someone this week. And a lot of times I just don't remember sessions. But if they're very emotionally charged and if it triggers something in me, and I actually get emotional as Jackie, you know, even though I'm on the side, I'm still feeling it. Then I remember, and this one I remember, because I was right there with her. It was just too big. And I'm generally, when there's a power retrieval, I am there. There's no way for me to separate out. I can't explain this. This was someone who had worked with a very famous spiritual leader. And they were struggling in a personal relationship with their husband. And it was a particular time where you could ask this leader a question. It was called a specific time. And they got up there and just kind of opened their heart. Still don't remember what they said. And this leader shamed them in front of all those hundreds of people. And literally, okay, energetically, as we looked at it, she literally shattered. She went into shock.
And you say that was in 1991?
Yes, back in 91. Now, at the beginning of the session, which they don't normally do, they said to her, "We have a surprise for you." And her higher self was there, and this was all orchestrated. And they said, "We're going to now find where you lost your abundance and this and that. It's all woven, and it's so subtle, and you won't." Because this particular teacher taught all kinds of things about abundance and everything. When it was rejected, all of it got rejected. Now, there was also a Father God projection there, which you can't help but do. You try not to when you have a spiritual leader, but it was still there to a degree. So we went back to the situation. Man, it was huge. And back in the audience, and they held her, and I mean, this was, and I'm thinking, oh God, you know, this is really risky stuff, and I have learned to get out of the way. They know what they're doing, you know, and I'm pretty brave, but there are times when I would say, oh, ugh. And they went back to the exact incident. All things exist, so it was not a problem. As the observer standing behind her, let her know they were there to catch her, did the merging. Now she is shattered. She is just literally shattered. And they had her go up on stage. First they asked her, "Where is the power?" And it was floating above this being's head. And they took her up on stage, completely surrounded in love. She was in this bubble of love, just so protected. She took the power and pulled it into her solar plexus, this ball of power. And this spiritual leader, this was so fascinating, turned around and winked at her like, "Good job." She then walked down the stairs, retrieved her things, and they said, "All right, let's go. We're walking out the door. You put your head up high." And she was laughing and crying all at the same time, because no one had ever done this, and she had always hoped that somebody, when they got shamed, would do it. And she got to do it. In that moment, it unwove all of that. Here was her power, shame, all kinds of her spirituality, her abundance, all of these things. Not that she'd ever was not spiritual, but parts of it got all twisted up in this. And what was fascinating is the next time that she actually made a lot of money was when she remarried someone, and that first year together they made a lot of money, and then she stopped working with her husband and stopped making all the money. Again, the male figure, the God projection, the, you know, father projection. It was, phew, this one was huge, because I think that so many people have had shamed experiences when they did go to church. I, throughout my life, certainly I've seen this happen with, I certainly had it happen to me, and my famous story about being cussed out of a confessional.
You were?
Oh, yes.
Good job.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I got the mom senior who was screaming. They had me in confession for 3 hours.
Oh, my.
Three hours. I was in fifth grade because I questioned original sin, and also I believed that you could heal yourself. They caught me healing a little, teaching a girl, not healing her, teaching her how to heal herself. I was in fifth grade. The nuns went nuts. This was a real no-no. So, anyway, again, hugely shamed. You know, and of course, in front of all the classrooms, here's this monsignor, you can hear him screaming his head off. And so, again, it's another piece. I, for whatever reason, I was supposed to share that. And thank you, Ronnie, for telling me that this morning. because there's something in there for a lot of people. I'm not certain what it is.
Well, it would be interesting if we found out your client had suddenly made a whole bunch of money on her own now.
Oh, she's getting ready to make the biggest change in her life right now. And what was interesting is that this is the piece that will allow her to now step into her great work.
Yeah, this is the sort of stuff we'd like feedback on, isn't it?
Oh, well, and I'm in constant touch with her. I will know. Because, you see, again, she lost her dignity, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
She was shamed in front of her peers. All right, these are people that got together every month or 2 months, whatever it was. She was shamed in front of her peers. That's stripping of dignity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only shaming. Your dignity goes right down the drain with the shame and the... And so here was that big chunk of power. So, you know, if you're questioning feedback, I see it all the time. I absolutely know what happens with these things.
Mm-hmm.
I have people where, you know, I keep case histories where a great story, someone I worked with for a couple of years, and this is a woman who went through trial by fire. Literally, she was in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they pinched her to wake her up. And we were working with her at the time. She fell asleep with a candle in New York in an apartment. And she got out, but she had a series of things happen to her that had to be dealt with.
You mean her guides pinched her awake so that she could get out of the fire?
The guides did. You know, the guides did. We were working very closely with her at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was hers or ours, but she was aware that it was the, you know, the team, whatever. And... generally, to be that, let me put it to you this way. Generally, your guides don't have the ability to bring that kind of pressure into the physical. Sometimes the angelic realm can, but the team definitely can. I mean, I lived this one, so I know. Physical manifestations for them are quite easy, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so, and it doesn't matter really who it was. The point is that during the process of time that we worked together, this woman who used to project her power onto and was looking for a man to take care of it has moved in to the fullness of who she is, claimed huge chunks of power from all over the place, and absolutely is, her life is stunning right now. I can't begin to tell you how stunning it is, and the voice that she has found, and the power that she carries now, and the fact that she is totally in love with herself, not in arrogance, but in total honor.
Mm.
It's just beautiful, and I see this every day, every day. I mean, I have histories for this reason. How is this working? How are they creating money? How is it flowing? Where does the abundance come from? Does it all work? Yes. And opportunities are just popping up. The minute they decide, she decided the day before yesterday that she wanted to start doing her work in other states, and she was approached by someone to do her work with their private jet passengers. These are very much upper echelon people, okay, in multiple states. And, I mean, she decided one day and it showed up the next. This is the
nice way
we want to, okay, I mean, I see this all the time.
So what you're saying is that being stripped of dignity drops all of that in the shadow. You pull the loss of dignity out and the gifts come ahead, right?
Well, in her, she had a lot of fear, and I can't go into all the reasons why, but there, because this gets into too much privacy, but she had a lot of fear around different things that could be very threatening to her welfare.
Hmm.
What was interesting is that as she faced each thing, it was all taken care of, the money was there, everything was there, and so as she moved through the fear, reclaimed her big chunks of power, and realized that she was safe, that she really was provided for, all things shifted.
Hmm.
Everything in her life shifted so amazingly. So amazingly. I mean, one of the most stunning turnarounds I've ever seen.
Hmm.
But I see them all the time. I'll often say to people, do you remember a year or 2 years ago when you had no voice and you bought, and they're like, people can't believe I'm the same person. I can't believe I'm the same person. That's what this is about. It's about reclaiming our power and our authority so that we can do the work we came here to do and create the magic. We are the inspirers. How can we teach unless we get it ourselves?
So it all goes
I'm sorry?
I just say it all goes back to releasing stuff that's pinned down from early childhood still, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Self-esteem, imprints of the parents and the male and the female.
Well, again, you know, where we're working in the shadow, this is time to retrieve our gifts. And if you still have a buzz, I want to make this very clear. If you still have a buzz with someone, there's a gift there with that person. I guarantee it. If you're still angry or hurt, or they could still say things that trigger you, or if you hear about them, or if there's still something there, okay, then you need to go back and see what you've left, what piece of you, and take it back.
All right. And
reclaim it for you so that you can be whole and full. I mean, think about it. With all the stuff we go through in life, all the places that we've left pieces of power.
Right.
But if we get the big chunks, the little ones will take care of themselves.
And you know what to work on if you see the printout coming through your reactions to people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you are afraid to enter or do something or participate in something, afraid of a judgment, afraid of what you're going to see reflected back to you, there is something that needs to be healed in you that goes back into your shadow. I'm going to see if we have enough time for this because this, we have a few minutes. I'm going to share this story.
Goody.
All right. As you know, everyone, they always deliver it to me in ways that I can't miss it. I had some people here last night who have a very big shadow side. I didn't know it at the time, to be very honest with you. But it's an interesting phenomenon for me when I meet new people. If they're in my home, I blend with them. I don't really want to, but I do. And now I'm going to be more cautious. This was a good lesson for me. And it will always come up in my dream state. I will have these bizarre dreams of their experiences that I don't understand, all kinds of stuff that they're carrying. I went to bed last night with my little dog, Millie, who most people know about, who is an incredible healer on her own right. And during the night, there was this river. And this river was, I don't think there's any nice way to put this. I mean, when I look back, it was so real. It was so, sometimes we have these experiences that are just so big that you can't, dreams normally kind of fade away during the day. This one isn't going anywhere. I'll never forget this one. And it looked actually like a sewer. It's the best description. There were bodies floating in it and animals floating in it, and there were flesh-eating fish in there tearing at them. It was the most grotesque thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I woke up this morning and I thought, whoa, okay, won't do that again. Okay. And when I got up, my dog couldn't walk. And nothing had happened to her. She doesn't jump up and down. I have to lift her onto everything anyway because she's such a princess. She was fine when we went to bed last night, I thought, except that while they were here, she was panting. And she was really... just the energies were, I was really concerned about her, and I know that she's so energy sensitive. I rushed her to the vet this morning. They x-rayed her all over the place. There's absolutely nothing wrong with her. But it crippled her, okay? She's coming back. I put her up on the table today with me, and they've done some great work. She hobbled up the stairs. It was just pathetic to try to get up to the healing room because she knew where she needed to go. And I didn't realize she would try to climb the stairs, so I brought her up for every session today. And she's much better. Well, she's still okay, but she literally took the hit on this one. And
so she absorbed all the energy, and it was too conflicting for her little body.
Well, she took it on for me. There was so much stuff in this person's shadow, so dark, and I don't want to go into too much detail here, but this is someone who came out of the Soviet bloc and anyway, I know enough to recognize that there's a lot there. I certainly had no idea, and it was very, very dark. And so here was the shadow in living color to me, the dark side of the shadow. And interestingly enough, I called the person that brought them over this morning, and I said, look, I want you to pass this on, because whatever's going on with this person, they have so much stuff in their shadow that I can't, you know, this is really big. And this person said to me, well, you know, before I brought them over, they said that they were being engulfed by this darkness. And I went, oh, great.
I was just taken to Jackie's house. That's great.
Yeah, right. So here was the living shadow as far as I was concerned. And unfortunately, okay, my dog, had she not been crippled this morning, I think I wouldn't have gotten this deeply, but it took her as the example for me to recognize, and I say this to people, you really need to pay attention to who you're hanging out with. Who are consciously working on healing themselves. Because the more you get healed, the more sensitive you're going to be to these energies. And I advise, I'm sorry?
And the more you trust yourself to step away and just choose different environments.
Well, you know, sometimes you can see the light side of people, and it can be so beautiful. And, you know, I didn't do a session on this person, thank you, Kevin. But, because I would have seen all of it. But that's, again, this is kind of it really showed me how dark the shadow can be. And when it's not healed, when it's not cleaned
actually,
up.
Actually, it's a really interesting other show is to talk about how we project a shadow and each of us brings up the shadow in the other. But there is this kind that we just absorb as well. And the next thing you're running someone else's darkness.
Well, again, you know, for me to experience it as I did in the dream state, it was so horrendous. And to realize that this was someone else's stuff, it made me very cognizant of the fact that, and there are some people I won't do sessions on.
Well, so I'd like you to spend a whole show on that at some point.
On which?
How to discern that kind of, I mean, some of us go around and self-sacrifice because we think everything's a projection of ourselves, so that we're kind of Pollyannish, kind of naive about stepping away from certain situations, you know?
Okay, and I agree with you. And again, this comes with that piece of dignity, because with dignity comes boundaries, and a certain level of self-respect and self-preservation and self-honoring. And you know, this is why I always say to people, look for pieces of dignity if you've lost them somewhere. When you have that firmly in place, and you recognize that you can't help everyone, and not everyone is a candidate. And it's not you don't care about them. And I next week I'll share another very important email that I did receive about this very thing, and about the dream that this person had and how difficult it was for them. So I'll remember that. And Ronnie, you and I'll talk about that for next week, or unless they have another agenda, which I never know. Anyway, we're hitting the hour. And
thank
Ronnie,
you.
If you'll
thank you, Jackie.
Your website, darling.
Oh, www.veronicaentwistle.com. Entwistle, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E.
No H.
No
and
H.
Your show?
Entwistle. My show is at 4 o'clock West Coast time on Tuesday, Radiance by Design, Learning to Consciously Radiate, and it's an interactive show. So tune in.
beautiful. Ronnie, I love you. To all of you out there, I thank you so much for participating in this work, for having the courage to continue to look, to walk through it, to experience some discomfort, as we all are.
Just grief, of course.
And, you know, I say this to you always, a piece of me is in all of you, and a piece of every one of you is in me. We really are all one. We are all connected. And I'm so grateful to all of you. And until next week, have a wondrous, wondrous time.
And light to Millie.
Thank you. She's down here. Sorry. With everyone. Good night.
Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Ronnie.